1974, Saskatoon, interview with Joe Fain.
Well, this is the only, one of the only pieces that I remember when I went to school, and although I don't, I haven't sung it for over 60 years, I guess, I'll have to try and sing it for you. A planter mean dear a school, a clock and taro now, a rader bach and tune yog, a goko and a sloin. Oh, molly, molly, coin, a gora vora moin, a rader bach and tune yog, a goko and a sloin. Yeah, so when you ask me about what do I remember about Wales and what is Wales to me, I can vividly remember some of the things that happened to me even when I was a very, very small child going to school in Wales. I was born in Pembrokeshire, which is on the west coast, and actually I was born in Neath. But at 3 months old, I was not. But my school days were mainly in Tredegar, a school called Nantibu School. Our schools at that time were nearly all managed, and the headmaster was an ex-military man. Discipline was you did what you was told, whether it was right or whether it was wrong. You had no... I learned at a very early age that you weren't allowed to think or express your own opinions. When the First War started, I was very young. I went back to school, but this was at Pembroke Dock because my father had been called up. And when I went back in 1972, I visited the school, and the motto of that school is the motto that has kept me through all my life, and it's been my guide, and I'd like to repeat it for everybody to know, and if I had my way, I'd have it said the same as we did, recited every morning in the school. Do the right because it is right. Do your duty at any cost. Keep your word when once given. Abhor mean actions. Help the weak and those that are down. Now that, to me, any person that wants to live up to that will be successful. Now, having said that, you could imagine what was my... And having had the background that I had, two strikes, been quite active from the time I was very young in the mine, my father dying a young man in the prime of his life because of the mining, the friends, brothers, some being killed in the mines, some maimed in the mines. This then brought us into what has been my whole life and what has been the background of a lot of Welshmen that I know, and that is that there wasn't enough room in Wales for us. The freedom wasn't there. The oppression was. And we weren't running away from oppression. We were trying to get away, I think, for our freedom. In fact, I came out here. One of 10,000 miners who had been shipped out to Canada for no other reason than they were afraid that there would be an upheaval, or there would have been a revolution. There is no doubt about it in 1928, after the 26th strike, that there was the unemployment. We came out to get the harvest in, and with the option of going back if we wished, and I said I'd never go back. I never have, but I have, my background has been the trade union movement, was organizing people, and I'm mostly concerned with the underprivileged groups. The aristocracy of labour, they could look after themselves. It was the hospital workers, it was the store workers, the engineers, labourers and construction trades. Those were the people I was interested in, and I spent all my life here in Canada with them. Now I'm with the Pensioners and Pioneers. They're president now, and although I helped to organize them in 1939, and the unemployed groups and things like that, now I'm their president, and we have some good organizations. I have found out that the majority of Welshmen, or Welsh people, in Canada have been workers, honest workers, and they've all done very well, very, very few. The ones that couldn't make it here didn't even stay, they went back home. So we don't have too many Welsh people in Canada who are what we call destitute or in that manner. We've helped a lot of our own people. That's part of our makeup. In Saskatoon in particular, when I came here, the friends were the Welsh Society. And we had a good Welsh Society. We would try to get work for our own people. It went, and the reason that it goes is like the reason, same reason for all the other groups. The Ukrainian or the German or anybody else is immigration, and if we don't have the Welsh people immigrating out here, then we don't have the new blood coming in. And it's the same with all the others, Italians or anybody else. So we suffered when we didn't get the immigrants, and of course it's the same thing here in Saskatoon, our climate being what it is in the winter time, and it's hard. It's a hard life on the prairies at the best of times. Then you are inclined to go to the warmer climate or drift to the heavier developed places. And I could go to Vancouver and I can meet more Welsh people than we have in Saskatoon now, that have been in Saskatoon sometime or another. Of course, our university, we have quite a few in there, in the intellectual group, that draws quite a few. But then they don't seem to, there's always seemed to have been that division between what we call the working Welsh and the intellectual Welsh. And I think you find this all the way through Canada too. But When I came here, and there was only a few of us, but we were well received, and we built up. Then it went down, and now it's coming back again, because we did have quite a few younger people coming out. What the main mistake we made was that we didn't retain our culture and develop it in our. I have three children, who now they're grown up, say. The biggest crime that was ever committed to them was that we didn't teach them the Welsh language and the Welsh culture. This is the, I have a son who is in TV and radio, and they claim to be Welsh. They claim to be Welsh. They want to be Welsh. And they would have liked to have been Welsh, and they'd like to have spoken the language. But of course I had had it hammered out of me. Because where I came from in Munmouthshire, when I went back to Tredegar, was the county where the English had taken over, and they practically killed the Welsh language. Half an hour a day in school wasn't sufficient. I learnt more of my mother at home than, and then of course my father, being a Pembrokeshire man, it was in Wales all right. He claimed to be a Welshman. But that is England beyond Wales, which was worse than Munmouthshire as far as the culture and the language. Well, sure, they have the abbeys and the cathedrals, and they have all of that, but they didn't. Pembrokeshire lost the Welsh culture before any of the other counties, and lost it more than any of the other counties. So I was unfortunate in being caught between the devil and the deep blue sea, sort of thing. But that is, I can say that, and say it honestly for the people that I have met. When we speak to them, is why didn't we keep up our Welsh? Why couldn't we? And why Why couldn't our children? We have a Christmas party here, and I get a great kick out of one or two of the children can come and sing in Welsh because their mothers and fathers have taught them. And that is one of the biggest mistakes I think I made, was that I didn't teach my children Welsh or got them to someone who could have taught them Welsh. And they can sing, all of them can sing, but not in Welsh. And of course I've lost my Welsh singing as a soloist, but not as I can sing the hymns when I have the words and things in front of me, I can read them and sing them. But then we have to be in that group. That's the coming sort of thing. But Saskatoon, you see, a lot of the Welsh people came out here, and particularly into Saskatchewan, because of their religion, the freedom of religion, with the Ba'ath colonists, and the colonization of the country was a considerable number of Welsh, huh? Lloyd and those was one of the leaders under the Ba'ath colonists in 1903. And there's a whole town out here at Bangor, and some of our towns are named after places in Wales where Welsh is spoken now. There was a whole Welsh settlement on the eastern part of the province here. But gradually, the same as everything else, just the same as the French and the other cultures they're going. The Ukrainians are the ones that have held on with the most, but then they've taught it to their children in their homes. And they've maintained it, and I got a lot of respect for them for doing it. So we had to blame a lot, you know, because we didn't do it. But my advice would be, now anyone coming out that can speak the language, to retain it, and if the government wants to retain the culture, which to me is a basic part of not only Canadian life but the old British tradition are the Welsh people, the prominent people. Saskatchewan here has been very, very fortunate in having the Welsh people turn out as leaders. Our present premier, Alan Blakeney, his mother's Welsh. We had Woodrow Lloyd, who was the former premier. He was Welsh. We had Bill Davis, who put in our health plan. And by the way, our health plan is patterned after the one in Britain that Knight and Bevan put in. And I was the contact man to keep contact with him. And I've been interested in all of this. So you see, a lot of the things that has been done here were done by Welshmen. And, so we have nothing to be ashamed of, but we've got everything to be proud of outside of the things that we are ashamed of ourselves. What if we had done as much for ourselves as a group as we have done for other or the main part of the people as a population, we would have had a Welsh classes at our universities, and we would have our own culture. Our Western Development Museum here would have a Welsh section, I'm sure, because a lot of the pioneers of the year were Welsh people. And not in one concentrated in one place, but all over the province. So this is the way I look at it. It's very difficult to take 45 years and condense it down into a discussion. If we were taking certain aspects and development of society, then you could very, very plainly see where the Welsh people fitted in. We just lost a fellow here a couple of years ago. Williams, who was the musical director for the schools, Wally Williams, he had come out and he did a terrific job in the schools with music and singing for the children. And if you've ever been to our festival down here on the annual festival, you'll find a lot of the Yes, his music is Welsh music. But even the children say, but they don't sing anything else. It's the language it is. We have not lost a lot of the culture, habits and ways and things like that, but we lost that Welsh language, and that is the key to the whole thing. And even with the situation in over there now, unless we do something, then it's going to go too far that we're not going to be able to recover it. Because if we don't get the new people coming in with the language as it is taught over there today, then we are going to find ourselves in the same position as a lot of the other people. What else regarding this form, or if someone asked me, well, what could be done, what should we do? I think we have the people here. I know we have in Saskatoon through our university people who speak very good Welsh language. I think if we could get some grants and try and set up, not for ourselves, a lot of us are too old, but for our children and for our grandchildren. I have two grandchildren now that there's nothing I would like better than to have them taught Welsh. Not because I want them to be different from anyone else, but to keep up a tradition that we feel should have been kept up. And I know there's a lot of other people. I would say there's a good 50 to 60 children in Saskatoon who would only be too glad, and some of us would like to go back and pick it up. And if we have dolls. Every time we go home, we bring back, the dolls. But there's very few of us have the proper flannel or the old socks that we used to use, for woven socks and things like that. We kept them for a long, long time. But, they're gone. We have a lot of little small relics that we bought. We've got old plates of Barry Docks and the different dishes and things like that, and some of the writings.
What kind of writings do you have?
Well, you'd have like Tom Shon Catti and more of the humorous side. Some of the old, and some of that Welsh humour was exceptionally good. My father used to recite Widow Bachlan. I was meeting the train about the widow we met in the train. It's quite humorous. It was to me, it was when I was young, and hearing them reciting that, I used to think, well, someday if I grow up, I'm going to recite that. That's what I
can you remember
recite.
It?
No, I couldn't. I never did learn it. I never got the chance to learn it because I never saw it in actual print. And the wife and I sit down sometimes now and we think about what her sisters and brothers used to do. I do have the book that I won the first song I ever sang at 7 years of age. First solo I ever sang in the Sunday school. But it was English. And, the book is in English. But I still have it. We try to keep some of these things. We have our Welsh doll and to try and keep some of the things alive. We keep in contact continually, and we have all of the records, gramophone records of all of the choirs, mass choirs in the Albert Hall, and Tredegar Orpheus, and the Eberville and Beaufort Milvoise choirs. In fact, all of our family over there are involved. John Tunley, my nephew, is the conductor of the Beaufort Milvoise party. His daughter is the one that has written the four parts to Amazing Grace. She's at 16 years of age, so she wrote them, which they sang, by the way, for us when we were over in 1972. The choir sang it at Cwm Eberville for the wife and I. And they're all involved somewhere or another, and we miss that. although they keep us posted with the records and with the papers, and I get the newspapers. I've been getting the newspapers ever since I came here.
Which
papers did you get? We get the Argus, the Gwent Argus now. It's going to be called the Gwent. We're back. They've renamed our county, not Monmouthshire anymore, but the Gwent, I understand, from the 1st of March, which is a trend back to developing the area from where we come back to the Welsh. So we'd like to see the same thing done in Canada. And it seems that there are more immigrants from in that area than any other part of Wales, because that is the industrial area, became industrialised, and now that we have the mines here, that's what they're coming out for, they're miners, basically. And because the farming is gone, you can't come out here as an immigrant farmer anymore because you can't get the land, and you know. So it must be, they must come from industry or from the educational field, which is the brain drain, as I call it, the brain drain of Wales. But when they talk about the brain drain, I say, well, we got a loss. It's not a drain on Wales because they've got an overflow there that we can well do without you, because it's not only in Welsh, it's in English and it's in mathematics and it's in computers and it's in engineering brains. So you don't worry about what you're taking out of there. They're flooded with it. And this is the attitude that I take, but we've got to have something else with it. Something else has got to come with it. They've got to bring the cultures with it. And there's a lot of things that I remember back, and as I say, I've got a lot of it on ready for the records that I hope to write about sometimes, but it's not all pleasant either, I can tell you. Because and it's not all pleasant for some of the Welsh people in Canada. But I think the majority have done well. But once again, it's such the thing we miss is what can we leave behind here? We can't leave our culture or our heritage behind. Somebody's going to have to pick it up somewhere and rebuild it. The same as we have. You see, it's only it's only 10 or 15 years ago since everybody forgot that Canada was going, particularly Saskatchewan, was going to grow old. Everybody thought this was a new country, and it's new. Everything is going to be new. Now we have the Western Development Museum. Someone had the brains and the foresight to say, look, these things are being destroyed. These old farm machines are being left out there, derelict. Somebody's got to start something to conserve this. And they've done a wonderful job. And of course, now the government can see that, but waiting for the government to do it, you're going to wait a long time. Somebody's got to start it. And then the government says, this is good, we'll support it. Now, although I don't agree with that, I think the government should get in there right at the beginning and give someone assistance, some assistance. But yeah, fortunately, the government of Saskatchewan has made a grant, and we've got a lovely building, and every bit of it, from knives and forks and spoons and hair curlers that was used in the old days and brought out with these people, is there for anyone to see, and it will be conserved. And I hope that some of the names of our people are there. There's some of the Welsh people's names there. There's some of the Welsh costumes. But of course, we have still keep that British tradition when in our costumes at the Welsh at the Western Development Museum. What I would like to see is that somebody be provided with a grant that they can get some Welsh costumes, because three or four of the people there who are in the leaders there are Welsh. Mrs. Jones and Mrs. Clark and these people there, they're Welsh. And but they dress in English costume, in the old-fashioned English costume. And of course, when we see the Ukrainians, they come out in their fine dresses, their culture. The German people are in their dresses. But we seem to want to, we don't want to break away. I'd like to go up there as dressed in my old clothes as a Welsh miner, which would be a true. But then that is a part of the industrial And I don't want to do that. What I would like to do is to go back to some of the real Welsh costumes. The gaiters and the breeches and gaiters and, you know, and the proper flannel shirts and things like that. Although they'd be pretty uncomfortable here in the summertime, but they were a godsend in the winter, that's for sure. And so I think we should, this is what should be given consideration.
When you first came out here, did you wear Welsh flannel shirts?
Yes, I brought, they made sure that you brought your flannel shirts, you know. And it's a funny thing, about 2 years ago I got a shirt. My wife bought me a shirt that's exactly like a Welsh flannel shirt. And it came from Korea, Taiwan. It had been made in Taiwan. And I still wear it. It's something like the flannel shirts that we had. Oh yes, I had flannel shirts and big stockings that my mother used to knit for us, you know, homemade stockings, yes. I even brought my hobnail boots that I had worn in the mine till the first winter, and then when I found out that they froze, that didn't go over very good. But a lot of the dress that was out here for the workers was very similar to the dress that we had in Wales. And the Fear Not jackets and things like that they use. And the lumber camps are very, very similar. The same type of clothing. But of course, you have a close relative in some of the French people, particularly the French people in northern Quebec. The people from Brittany and the Flemish people in particular are very, very close to the Welsh. And if you follow the history back, you'll find out that was the line of communication was between Brittany and Wales, South Wales in particular, and it was through and I think it's through that a lot of these people get along so well. I never had any problem with the French people when I was organizing in Quebec and down through there. I never had any problem at all, although I couldn't speak their language. There was something in our makeup that created a line of communication. So in Canada, I think we are more fortunate than being in the United States. Although in the States, of course, they colonized, the Welsh people colonized a lot of the United States, and I have some our family down there. In fact, the last 10 years I spent quite a bit of my time trying to find our family, which we have found quite a few of them, and they're all down through the States, and in fact we visited some of our very close relatives, and they recognize St. David's Day, but very little of it is in Welsh. So if it could be started in Canada, I'm pretty sure it would spread to back there. But the question arises then, does the government want this? The question is, would they be creating another group of people? Will we still maintain ourselves as Canadians? Will we still be Canadians? I know this is the problem in the United States. You know, are we Americans or are we Welsh? This is, and when you speak to your people, you find out the same as us. They're crying because they lost their Welsh language. We should have held on to it. But governments must be very, very careful that they don't start another ethnic group that will become, what should we call it, a political group, which will become a pressure group. If it's done for culture, I think, and culture only, and retain the culture, I think it can be done, and I think it will be appreciated. But I can assure them that if they're talking about, or anyone has the idea that they want to set up another group, to be Welsh in Canada, or German in Canada, then I'm opposed to it. I don't want to be that. I want to be a Canadian first, because this is the country that was that gave me the opportunity that my own country refused and didn't give me. And if everyone is honest, any Welsh person is asked, and they're honest, why did they come to Canada? It's because they didn't have sufficient openings there. There wasn't sufficient future there. Is the proper answer for the majority of them. Although we miss our homeland, the truth is that the opportunities were here, and given the opportunities, the majority of us did good. We did well. We did better than what we would have done had we remained there. Therefore, this should be our first love, which Canada should. But then we try to retain some of our past. Our past, that's as a culture, but not a past as a living or a standard, because the Welsh living, as I know it, the standard was not too high and is not too high from what I've seen. Oh, it's getting better, it's improving,